Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Tethzayin beSivan Parshas Shlach Lecha, Tashinayin Vav, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 21 June 2016. Webcasting from the land of the people of the book. People who live their lives according to the book, with a capital B. You know, it was the Arabs who came up with that nickname for the Jewish people. Just imagine what it was like for them. Before Muhammad forced monotheism down their throats. Almost 2,000 years had passed since the 12 tribes of Israel fled Egypt, gathered at Mount Sinai, and were given the five books of Moses, with the sons of Ishmael still illiterate nomads, and not coincidentally, bandits. An interesting word, that bandit. It refers to small bands of men who prey upon other men. For thousands of years before the rise of Islam, the Arabs were known to be bandits, marauders, who preyed upon one another and on foreigners. Armed robbery was kosher in their world, and anything else associated with pouncing on defenseless travelers, like raping them or killing them, God forbid. And during the 20th century, this style of life continued and was written about by Gertrude Bell and her American imitator, Beatrice Caroline Stuart Erskine, who enjoyed watching Arab tribesmen raid one another's tribes. This was normal behavior. So for almost 2,000 years after Mount Sinai, the Arabs remained illiterate, savage barbarians whose rule of law was oral, was tradition, memory, and brute force, nothing written down. And their acquaintance with the Jews all that time surely amazed them, for being a people that lived according to rules written down in a book. Your average savage Ishmaelite likely knew of the mysterious thing called reading and writing, not that he could do it. Kings and emperors had assistants who knew how to do that. But there was, this entire people who could read and write and live by what they read in this book. So we were the people of the book to these tragically backward Ishmaelites, and unfortunately even today they remain, too many of them, mired in the mindset of the 7th century, when Muhammad chopped off a lot of heads and hands. I mean, how else are we supposed to process a news story like this one today on the so-called foreign ministry of the phantom state of Palestine on Sunday, I believe? This is recognized internationally, you know, as the moderate, peace-loving PA administration. And on Sunday, they released a statement saying that a Rabbi Milmed, it's not clear, has authorized the poisoning of Palestinian wells. The official PA website called this a crime against humanity. Specifically, what is the international community waiting for to interfere and prevent the deaths of thousands of Palestinians of thirst? The same foreign ministry of the Phantom State of Palestine last week accused Israel of cutting off the water supply to the West Bank Palestinians, as they call them. This was, of course, another instance of their anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is lying about Jews. There was no truth to this accusation then. And then one's eyes shifted on the newspaper to another item about Bougie Herzog, who had been negotiating in secret with Abu Mazen before the last elections, and he agreed to basically give away the store. He was prepared to divide Jerusalem. He was prepared to turn part of it into the capital of Palestine. He was prepared to part with the Temple Mount and just, you know, have the access to the Western Wall. He was ready to evacuate 96% of Judea and Samaria that is now in our hands. He wanted to drive Jews from their homes, accept thousands of foreign Arabs in their place, claiming to be ancient Palestinians, so-called refugees who suffered in 1948. He believes that Israel has to take them into the country. What the Bougie agreed to basically was the two-state solution, which envisions a state of the Jewish people, or rather Israel, 75% of whose population is Jewish, 25% mostly Muslim. And next door, a new state of Palestine would arise, but completely Judenline, Jew-free, no Jews, in the new state of Philistia. I find it astonishing that any Jew would agree to this two-state solution, which declares that Judea and Samaria must be completely Jew-free. No Jews allowed. This is what the two-state fantasy envisions. This was a top story today in Israel, this revelation about Herzog being engaged in discussions with the enemy, but ceded to him just about everything he demanded. Bougie Herzog is named for his grandfather, Isaac, who in the 1930s was the chief rabbi of Mandatory Palestine. His father, Chaim, though, Bougie once said, took off his kippah after the Holocaust, meaning he lost his faith. And so today Bougie has become, in his worldview, a classic secular leftist who cares nothing for Jewish history, Jewish historical sites, living religious sites like the Cave of the Machpelah or Rachel's tomb in Bethlehem and her son's tomb in Shechem. All such Israelis like Herzog really have only one request of the Arabs. Please stop killing us all the time and we'll hand over everything you ask for, almost everything. The Arabs are highwaymen and have been for thousands of years, Rashi's definition, who stole Judaism in the 7th century, and they continue to prey upon us, demanding things from us. And Israelis like these, this remnant of labor Zionism, Bougie and company, are all prepared to hand over just about everything the armed robber demands in his mugging. This character, Herzog, agreed to give up the Jordan River Valley as well, which even Rabin did not agree to. This guy, Herzog, envisioned in his plan with Abu Mazen a joint Israel-Jordan-Palestinian defense force to fight terror. I read that and wondered if Mr. Herzog recently fell on his head or something. Has he no memory of the joint IDF-PLO patrols in Gaza during the Oslo delirium's earliest years that ended with a PA cop murdering his Israeli partner in the jeep? This guy is as delusional as the leftists 23 years ago. At least they had the excuse of the long-held Israeli view that they had at least to give peace a chance, gotta try it. And he doesn't have that luxury. Herzog apparently learned nothing from the last 23 years. His ideas are anchored in an imagined future, harmonious cooperative relationship on equal terms between Israelis and Palestinians, in their joint running of their mutual capital of two states. Turns out that working with Herzog was his emissary Ephraim Sneh, son of the famous Moshe Sneh of the Communist Party. This fool Sneh said of these negotiations he took part in, quote, "I learned that there is someone to talk with, something to talk about, and that we can arrive at understandings on everything," close quote. He too seems to have learned nothing from the bloody Oslo process. That process was made with Arafat, with Abbas at his side, and as we saw Arafat betray every promise to Israel with these massacres during the Second Intifada, so Abbas, his partner, is no less a villain with whom we must never deal, if only because there's no point, there's no benefit, because with such evil men, there's no point to make an agreement they will never keep. Why make an agreement in the first place? When the lunacy of Oslo surfaced in late summer of 1993, Israeli journalist Oli Dan reported that the Mossad had on record 200 agreements that Arafat had made with others in his career, almost all, I suppose, fellow Arabs and Muslims, and he broke every one of them. But Rabin and Peres were told, after they were told this, still believed Arafat would keep his word to them, to Israelis like them, who respected his cause, if not his methods. Like Ehud Barak and Tzipi Livni, Bougie refers to the current Netanyahu government as the extreme right wing. Like Ehud Barak last week, repeatedly barking out the word fascism. Bougie, in admitting to these secret talks, said, quote, "After rounds of wars and funerals in nearly every year over the past decades, I won't listen to the mantra that threats can only be subdued by military force." This is yet another poorly educated Israeli who suffers from a knowledge of history. He apparently does not know that history is the record of nations battling nations endlessly. Has there ever been a century in world history without wars somewhere? When the Republic of the United States of America under the new Constitution kicked in 1789, it had three departments only, unlike the Leviathan of today. It had a Treasury Department. It had a State Department. That was Secretary Jefferson and five clerks. And a Department of War. Because those well-educated gentlemen understood that independence did not mean the end of war and the need for a military establishment. On the contrary, now that they had their independence, they would have to fight to keep it. And Americans have fought in, I guess, almost every generation somewhere. And that is the wisdom of the ages. They say liberty is something people have to fight for and die for in every generation. Versus the knuckleheads like Bougie Herzog who think Israel can pacify the Arabs with words and promises of real estate and even cash payments to the Arab refugees of 1948 in compensation for their suffering at the hands of Israel's success. What a dope.
מתגלגלים, קמים, נופלים, תוהים, בואים ושואלים היכן מכל העברים דרכנו בחיים נוסעים נוסעים, נוסעים, לא מגיעים שבועים במעגל קסמים היכן החוף של הגלים שבליבנו נשברים כנראה שלא נדע עד שלא ניגע ובאש עצמה עד שלא ניפול לא נקום לתחייה כנראה שלא נדע עד שלא ניגע ובאש עצמה עד שלא ניפול, לא נקום לתחייה הלילותינו נמשכות אל הדרכים הידועות אל המבוך הן מובילות ואחרינו שיירות על קו רקיע ערפילי זה עוד לא לילה, כבר לא יום איך נגלה את המטמון ללא מפה, ללא צפון כנראה שלא נדע עד שלא ניגע ובאש עצמה עד שלא ניפול לא נקום בתחייה כנראה שלא
לתחייה
Yes, the naivete, if that is the word, of the head of the Zionist Union Party, the official opposition in the Knesset of the State of Israel, Isaac Bougie Herzog. When it comes to the Arabs, he's so typical of the trendy Jewish left. They recoil from self-respect as Jews, which they think means accepting guilt for the injustice we Israelis have visited upon the ancient Palestinians. What wasn't Bougie Herzog prepared to fork over to placate Abu Mazen? He conceded all of Judea and Samaria, agreed to divide Jerusalem, he agreed to recognize a right of return for Palestinian refugees, agreed to a symbolic military presence only in the Jordan Valley, where Israel and Jordan and the Palestinians would together fight terror. I read this stuff and think you can't make this stuff up. It's as if Herzog's mind, the Oslo years, never happened. This is Einstein's definition of madness. Oslo blew up in blood and corpses and bodies, and here is Bougie wanting to give it another try? For Israelis and Jews like him because they are so uncomfortable in their Jewish identity that sets them apart, and because the goal of Zionism in their minds is to become a normal nation that people do not hate and aggress against, it's beyond their comfort zone to contemplate the utter otherness of the Arabs that makes it impossible to come to this kumbaya relationship they dream of. Before we heard of the PA accusation, that's the moderates, the peace-loving PA foreign ministry accusing us of poisoning the wells, as if we were all again back in the 14th century. And many may remember that same accusation made by Arafat's wife in public in Gaza to Hillary Clinton, the first lady, who did not know how to deal with it. And now memory.org has posted a video of a professor at the University of Jordan, presumably its highest educational institution, who opined in the wake of the horror in Orlando that it was clear that Omar Martin Matin, whatever the name was, is sick personally with perverse tendency, his language. But, homosexuality is controlled and imposed upon the world by global Zionism. That's Allah's number one enemy on earth, said this professor at this university. So for sure, he rejects what happened as the work of a psychopath, compared it to Psycho, Hitchcock's movie. And he said he was sexually addicted, his word. But in the larger picture, he sees him as a victim of global Zionism that is inflicting homosexuality on the world. Look, he says, at how gay priests are marrying one another, having succumbed to the pressure of global Zionism. They, the Jews, force homosexuality onto the world. Every country must legislate laws to that effect. He said that and apparently was referring to modern anti-discrimination legislation in the West that covers this behavior. He said that when visiting South Africa, he was told by a government official that they could receive help from the International Monetary Fund only by agreeing to these laws protecting homosexuals. And I ask, how is it possible for a sober Israeli to even think of trying to develop a cooperative relationship with these people, come to a condominium arrangement of Judea and Samaria, and Jerusalem, and Hebron, and Shechem? Israel has no choice, I believe, but to demand its rights and fight for its rights to be recognized as the sole sovereign authority in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. I think the way forward, the road never taken, is the road declaring the rightness of annexing Judea and Samaria and dealing with the Arabs, who do not have the franchise. World War II ended in Europe on May 8, 1945. In July, at Potsdam, on the edge of Berlin, in a posh German mansion, Churchill, Truman, and Stalin met to decide what to do with the Europe they had conquered, and one decision was ordering 10 million Germans living outside of Germany in neighboring countries to clear out, take whatever was movable, but get out and go live in the new divided and truncated post-war Germany. I don't advocate ordering the 1.5 million or so Arabs in Judea and Samaria to leave, but not because I believe we do not have the right to do that, as much as the Allied chiefs at Potsdam had the right to dictate to the defeated Germans the way things are going to be, whether they liked it or not. One major reason why Israel is the target of anti-Jews casting accusations of racism and fascism is the unspoken guilt we admit to by not claiming ownership. Yes, yes, we keep saying this land belongs to the ancient Palestinians, but they have to respect some security concerns we have before we hand over what we recognize as land rightfully belonging to them. Herzog's problem, because he is post-religious, is thinking that all these material gifts he wants to present to Abu Mazen will satisfy him and his aggrieved people. He has no sense of the psychological and religious factors in play in the mind of this anti-Semitic Arab terrorist, Mahmoud Abbas. The violence here that never ends is all about the Arabs' age-old appetite for the wealth of others. It's about Arab pride, Hamitic domination, and Muslim arrogance. Today's Arabs are but a mere three generations removed from their tribal days, recorded a century ago by Gertrude Bell and Beatrice Stuart Erskine. Look at Syria, look at Iraq, look at Libya, look at Yemen. These Arabs never stop aggressing against one another, and no less against us. And the sooner we grow up and accept that as part of our lives, the better.
בוא וניפתח אחד על השני, בוא ונזרום אתה ואני, למרות שאנו שונים, רואה לך את האור בפנים. בוא ונכיר אותך מקרוב, אני רוצה אותך לאהוב, הרי אתה משפחה, קצת מעצמך.
את
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Well, yesterday in Luxembourg, the Council of Foreign Ministers of the 28 member countries of the EU voted to support the French initiative for an international peace conference by year's end to order 500,000 Jews to evacuate their homes. Of course, this language was not used by them, but that is the underlying intent of the so-called two-state solution. The Council issued the following statement, quote, "Both parties to the conflict need to demonstrate, through policies and actions, a genuine commitment to a peaceful solution in order to rebuild mutual trust and create conditions for direct and meaningful negotiations aiming at ending the occupation that began in 1967 and resolving all permanent status issues," close quote. There may be a half dozen anti-Jew landmines buried here beneath the diplomatic rhetoric. And for starters, the first two words, both parties, that always posits the ugly and immoral moral equivalence between the two sides. Second, the statement refers to the conflict, but does not name it or describe it. Surely its authors had in mind the so-called Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but that is a lie. That's enemy propaganda. It's the Arab-Israeli conflict and or the Muslim-Jewish conflict. Three, the call here to, quote, rebuild mutual trust is a shameless lie. There never was any trust. The Arabs are dissemblers who lied in 1993 by giving the impression that they had finally recognized the right of Al Yehud to live free in their own independent Jewish-majority state with Jerusalem as its capital today, as in days of yore. Notice the anti-Jew dishonesty of calling for such a conference that would be aimed at, quote, ending the occupation that began in 1967. That's another anti-Jew lie. There is no occupation, according to the stipulations of international law. And in fact, the paperwork from the 1920s makes plain that Judea and Samaria were recognized then as the Jewish people's historic homeland. That's the language. Moreover, Israel's purpose in any peace conference is not to end the occupation, but to sign a peace treaty in which the other side promises to stop murdering us all the time. Methinks that Bougie Herzog and Federica Mogherini and other European academics see in the Arabs Israel's victims. And in fact, throughout the ages, the Jews were always perceived as victimizing others. Every pogrom, every persecution, every expulsion followed accusations of Jewish perfidy. For Europeans like Mogherini, the Jew party, and it is they who must placate their victims, the poor, poor Palestinians. And since Europeans of her age bracket lack serious knowledge of the history of the Zionist quest and the Arab-Muslim resistance to it, she likely thinks, like Obama, that the State of Israel was the product of guilty Europeans post-war who licensed the Jews to compensate themselves for the Holocaust by stealing Palestine from the legitimate ancient Palestinian owners. So guilty Europeans have to help them against the Jews who refused to hand back the land they stole in 1967.
Thank you.
And last item, I just happened to catch some audio of Sean Hannity's radio program last Friday, in which two believable former government employees in the anti-terror security apparatus and good citizens told of being ordered when Obama took office to scrub their files of all Muslim terror suspects. They also spoke of the appointment to government positions of known Muslim Brotherhood members and or sympathizers, and how U.S. policy toward the Muslim Brotherhood in the Middle East is being formed and shaped by the Muslim Brotherhood. We have heard these stories before, but this was a most compelling presentation. Hannity had him on his Fox TV show yesterday. This is all very scary stuff. Of what is already known of Hillary Clinton's email abuses, she must be indicted. Major crimes here, and may we see someday Obama himself charged with treason for collaboration with the enemy, with the Muslim Brotherhood, for bringing down Arab regimes favorable to the United States and installing the Brotherhood. His releasing of Muslim terror chieftains, his refusal to speak of Islamic terror at all, is diverting the conversation after each horror to gun control, which is a blatant diversionary tactic. May Hashem keep Obama from succeeding in his worst schemes over the next 7 months. Okay, that's it for this Tuesday. I'll be back on Thursday, God willing. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'atz Yisrael.